Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
It's June already? I mean, the reason I ask is because many, if not most, of our nation's newscasters can't.
Can't believe it's June 1st already.
Can't believe it's June 1st.
Yeah, June 1st. You're right already.
Can't believe it is June 1st already.
Can't believe it's June 1st.
Can't believe it's June 1st.
Can't believe it's June 1st.
I can't believe it's June 1st today.
I know, right?
It is hard to believe.
Hard to believe that today is the first day of the month of June.
Yeah. Hard to believe it is June 1st.
Hard to believe it's June 1st.
Hard to believe it's June 1st.
Hard to believe it's June.
Hard to believe it is June.
You say that every month.
I know.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene sent a letter to President Biden demanding an investigation into what she believes is Anthony Fauci's cover-up of the origins of COVID-19. She asked for answers by June 31st, 2021. Only one problem. June has 30 days.
And now, Marjorie Taylor Greene's calendar song.
30 days, half December, March, October, and remember all the June, if you're in QAnon. One more time. There is the secret month, August, November. April is a satanic member. Antifa had made destroyed. These are facts. I'm not paranoid.
I had a great weekend. You know why? Because I'm vaccinated. Oh, what a joy it is to walk around without a mask, hugging people. I feel like a superhero. Seriously, if you don't have a vaccine yet, go get one right now. It's the greatest. You're going to be like, why didn't I do this before? I'm such an idiot. And we'll be like, yes, you are an idiot. And then you'll be free.
Sing my songs again, free again, to end my longing to be out on my
Trump's old pardon pal, Michael Flynn, a man who admitted to lying to the FBI, who went to prison for it, appeared at what was essentially QAnon Con this weekend, where he quite plainly supported an idea from a man in the crowd who asked, why don't we just overthrow the government? Keep in mind, the man on stage answering this question is a former general and national security advisor.
I'm a simple Marine. I want to know why what happened in Myanmar can't happen here.
No reason. I mean, it should happen here. No reason. But that's right.
Yeah, why what happened in Myanmar is pronounced like minibar. Myanmar is a country in Southeast Asia. In February, the military seized control of the country. They refused to accept the results of the election there, so they organized a coup. Thousands of protesters have been imprisoned. Hundreds have been killed. And General Eisenhower up there thinks we should do that here, too. Although, after it was suggested that he be court-martialed for that remark, Flynn tried to walk it back. He wrote, let me be very clear, there's no reason whatsoever for any coup in America, and I do not and have not at any time called for any action of that sort, except for this weekend when you did it on video and the times you did it leading up to January 6th. Maybe that's the Bill Gates microchip making him say that. Maybe there should be a coup down at Myanmar-a-Lago is where it should be. You know, according to Maggie Haberman, who's a writer for the New York Times, Trump believes that he is going to be reinstated as president in August after Arizona finishes that cyber ninja audit of the election they're doing, which is so completely insane and dumb. It has to be true. It just has to be. We'll know for sure it's true once we hear him deny it.
Well, many things have happened in the last week or so. A former national security advisor suggested a coup should happen in the U.S. A Democratic senator came out against a crucial election reform bill for extremely dumb reasons. Rudy Giuliani did a MyPillow ad during a video on UFOs, which makes sense since he always looks like he just got dropped off by one. They squeezed my head until ink came out and then dropped me off on the side of a New Jersey turnpike. So all in all, not one of my crazier days. This weekend, we all had to briefly ask ourselves, did Donald Trump put his pants on backwards? Which, to be clear, he did not. People thought Donald Trump maybe put his pants on backwards. And again, let's be clear. He did not put them on backwards, which is good for Trump because it would be very embarrassing to be the first president to put your pants on backwards, as opposed to what he is, the first president where everyone believed it was at least possible, where even his own supporters had to say, no, see, look, those are pleats, right? But again, would it really shock you if a guy whose pants look like this couldn't figure out how to put them on the right way? I mean, look at how baggy they are. Those aren't pants. They're an escape room. If you tied Trump to a mast, you could win the America's Cup. It's like if MC Hammer made business pants.
Can't touch this.
Either he shares a tailor with a Ken doll, or he spends so much time yanking stuff out of his keister, he just likes to have the zipper back there to make it easy.
You can rest assured the former president of the United States and commander-in-chief of the armed forces, the man who for 4 years single-handedly controlled our nuclear arsenal with the power to destroy all life on Earth, knows how to put his pants on. Professional fact-checkers have now confirmed that Snopes looked through photographs taken at the event and published by the visual media company Getty Images that clearly show the former president on stage wearing pants with a zipper in the front.
Normally, when you pay that much attention to his crotch, you get $130,000.
And I love that this country has gone so crazy that Snopes has started to sound like a weary substitute teacher. No, he didn't have his pants on backwards. And no, you're not allowed to smoke weed if you finish the quiz early. Also, did no one consider the possibility that Trump was wearing pants with a zipper in the front and the back? That is absolutely an idea that should be on Shark Tank. And if it hasn't yet, I call dibs. I'm going to start calling myself the My Zipper Guy. And yeah, I'm going to grow a mustache and start talking like that. The best thing about our pants is with a zipper on both sides, you're not going to spend the whole day thinking, oh, boy, I hope I didn't put these on backwards. Now, to me, this dumb pants conspiracy theory was far more interesting than what Trump actually had to say at the rally, which I'm not going to bother to get into because it was the same deranged bull he's been spouting for months about the election. At this point, he really needs to zip it front and back. But what we do know is that it's apparently more than just propaganda aimed at dismantling democracy. Trump reportedly genuinely believes that in a matter of months, he'll somehow be reinstated as president.
Times Maggie Haberman is reporting that Donald Trump has been telling a number of people that he expects he will be reinstated as president by August.
What he's doing is echoing things that are being said by Sidney Powell, who was his lawyer, although, you know, he distanced himself from her at certain points over the final months of the administration, but she was helping advise him on these efforts to overturn the election last year. This is being said by Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow, who has been pushing this for some time. He's echoing what they're saying.
If it weren't so dangerous, it'd be sad.
Tears on my pillow, pain in my heart caused by you. Ooh.
You. He's putting around his golf course telling people he's getting ready to go back to the White House like a guy who thinks his ex is going to take him back even though she's already living with another dude. I'm telling you, once you get back from their honeymoon in Cabo, she's going to unblock my number and break up with Brad. She told me once that six-packs are actually kind of a turnoff. It's insane for many reasons, not the least of which is that Trump thinks he's about to be reinstated in the White House when he can't even keep a blog going. Last week, he shut down his blog after hearing from friends that the site was getting little traffic and making him look small and irrelevant. A post-analysis of the online data late last month found that the site was attracting fewer visitors than the pet adoption service PetFinder, and the recipe site, Delish. Wow, he's delusional and sociopathic, but somehow he's the only person on Earth who knows when it's time to shut down a blog. I mean, there are guys out there still writing about cheat codes for Metal Gear Solid. And having less traffic than PetFinder is a real burn for Trump, because this is a man who hates pets. If he started a website, it would be called Pet Loser, where you could either, I don't know, call pets losers, or a service where people would show up in a van and help lose your pet. My kids love the dog, but I'm just really allergic. I don't need the reason. Just consider him lost. Get in the van. There's steak in there. Of course, it's not hard to imagine life without Trump's blog, considering the only noteworthy thing he did on it was call a horse a junkie. And even then, he used the wrong spelling of junkie. Now, it's easy to dismiss all of this as the collective delusion of a bunch of fringe loons. And it's true that Lindell and Powell and the like are not exactly power brokers. Powell had to admit in court that reasonable people wouldn't believe the stuff she says. And Lindell just got dumped by his law firm one day after filing an insane lawsuit against voting machine companies. It also wouldn't surprise me if one or both of them pronounced it coop. But while these people are obvious cranks, it's also worth remembering that Michael Flynn was actually the national security advisor. And on top of all that, we also just found out that for weeks after the election, Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, was still trying to get the Justice Department to use the levers of government to subvert the election and keep Trump in power.
New emails show that in the last weeks of the Trump administration, then Chief of Staff Mark Meadows pushed the Department of Justice to investigate conspiracy theories about the election. That revelation, according to New York Times report, shows Meadows repeatedly asked acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen to look at claims of fraud in the 2020 election. One email requested the DOJ investigate a fantastical theory that people in Italy had used military technology and satellites to remotely tamper with voting machines in the U.S. and switch votes for Trump to votes for Joe Biden.
All right, that's a new one. The chief of staff for the president of the United States thought Italy might have used satellites to tamper with voting machines. For one thing, have you ever been to Italy? If you ask them to tamper with an election in November, they might get around to it by March. Seriously, these insane GOP conspiracy theories are starting to sound like election truth or Mad Libs. In Arizona, they're looking for bamboo in the ballots because they think they were smuggled in from China. And now we find out the former chief of staff thought the election was stolen by Italian satellites. In fact, this insane theory got so far in the White House that, according to the Times, an email to another Justice Department official indicated that Mr. Rosen had refused to broker a meeting between the FBI and a man who had posted videos online promoting the Italy conspiracy known as Italygate. The Italygate is like the Stargate, except instead of interstellar travel, it just dumps you behind some Vespas on a cobblestone street and you have to fight through a cloud of pigeons to make your way back. Or even worse, the Italy Gate leads you to Rudy's apartment. Oh, no, not more aliens. The last one took my neck for experiments and forgot to put it back on. Italy Gate sounds like the last booth on the toll plaza in New Jersey. It's cash, easy pass, and the Italy Gate, where you just loudly negotiate. I'm only making a quick errand here. Give me a break. Stop your honking! Then get easy pass! So Democrats must take stock of the fact that this is the Republican Party they're dealing with, a Republican Party whose most powerful figures are disseminating insane conspiracy theories about the election, calling for coups, trying to use the levers of power to subvert elections, and whose functionaries are trying to weaponize those lies as we speak by turning them into voter suppression laws. At least 14 states have enacted GOP laws, making it harder to vote, and Republicans who sought to overturn the last election are vying for positions as election officials in multiple states, which would put them in charge of the next election. It is insane and dangerous for obvious reasons. It's like going to a salon run by Ted Cruz. We can either trim your beard or we can take the clippings from the floor and glue them to your face. In fact, the Republican Attorney General in Texas just bragged to Steve Bannon that if he hadn't made it harder to vote by mail in 2020, Trump might have lost Texas too.
Trump won by 620,000 votes in Texas. Harris County mail-in ballots that they wanted to send out were 2.5 million. Those were all illegal. And we were able to stop every one of them. Had we not done that, we would have been in the very same situation. We would have been on election night. I was watching election night, and I knew when I saw what was happening in these other states that that would have been Texas. We would have been in the same boat. We would have been one of those battleground states that they were counting votes in Harris County for 3 days, and Donald Trump would have lost the election.
They're not shy about it. They're just admitting it. For people who believe in a bunch of secret conspiracies, they're sure bad at keeping their actual conspiracy secret. And yet there are still those Democrats who simply refuse to confront the reality of the threat to democracy we're facing. Arguably the loudest of those is West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who this weekend came out against a sweeping election reform bill passed by the House and said he refused to end the filibuster in order to protect voting rights from Republican attacks. And on Sunday, he offered a ludicrous defense of his view that so-called bipartisanship with Republicans was somehow possible.
By taking it off the table, haven't you empowered Republicans to be obstructionist?
I don't think so, because we have seven brave Republicans that continue to vote for what they know is right and the facts as they see them, not worrying about the political consequences. I believe there's a lot more of my Republican colleagues and friends that feel the same way. I'm just hoping they are able to rise to the occasion to defend our country and support our country and make sure that we have a democracy for this republic of all the people.
Senator McConnell, the head of the Republicans in the Senate, says that he's 100% focused on blocking the Biden agenda. Question, aren't you being naive about this continuing talk about bipartisan cooperation?
I'm not being naive. I think he's 100% wrong in trying to block all the good things that we're trying to do for America.
I mean, do you hear yourself, though? You don't think you're being naive, but you also think Republicans will rise to the occasion? These people think the election was rigged by Hugo Chavez, bamboo ballots, and Italian satellites. It sounds like a "We Didn't Start the Fire" remix. All they're missing is a theory about how dead people like Buddy Holly and Ben-Hur voted for Biden using ballots smuggled in by space monkeys in the mafia. Bamboo ballots smuggled in. Cicadas are back again! Manchin and others like him have to get real about the threat to democracy posed by Republicans, and his fellow Democrats have to put more pressure on him to confront that reality and do something about it. Otherwise, if Republicans get their way, there's a good chance that come the next election, you'll only be allowed to vote if you own a
MyPillow.
Top story. Our fourth branch of government, Senator Joe Manchin, announced that he would not support voting rights legislation because it violates the constitutional right of a backwoods senator to euthanize democracy.
The fundamental purpose of our democracy is the freedom of our elections. If we can't come to agreement on that, God help us, John. So I want to fight for this, and I think the Republicans will fight for this and understand we must come together on a voting rights bill in a bipartisan way.
It takes a lot of optimism to seek a bipartisan approach when the other side is currently inspecting Arizona ballots to see if they were printed on fortune cookie paper.
The move upset progressives. Congressman Mondaire Jones tweeted, Manchin's op-ed might as well be titled, Why I'll Vote to Preserve Jim Crow. Now, Ben, isn't it wrong to compare Jim Crow to the horrible persecution currently faced by sideline Republican senators?
Well, Sarah, the fact that we're having this conversation about a single senator who's standing in a way of guaranteeing the right to vote to all Americans, I think shows you how messed up our democracy is. We've got over, 20 states that are trying to pass incredibly restrictive laws, often aimed at Black Americans to prevent them from voting, prevent them from registering to vote. I think it kind of highlights exactly why our democracy needs reform.
Joe Manchin knows what he's doing. Civil rights movements are only successful when everyone in the country gets behind them unanimously.
And good on Joe Manchin for backing the filibuster. It's a slippery slope to raising the minimum wage, and if that happens, I'll no longer be able to ask my 72-year-old grocery store cashier which cat food tastes the best.
Now, moving on, former president and Propecia huffing cautionary tale Donald Trump is reappearing on the political stage. He delivered a speech at a fundraiser in North Carolina where his totalitarian demands for absolute power were overshadowed by what was going on with his groin pouch.
Well, he then called into the Fox Business show Varney and Company, a show that answers the question, what does racism sound like with a British accent?
How do you get the word out? Do you have a plan?
Well, I have been getting it out. I do news releases or press releases, and I think I've been getting it out very well, but they are really, these are bad people, these are dangerous people. Zuckerberg would come to the White House to have dinner with me, couldn't have been nicer. Sir, you're number one, congratulations, you're number one on Facebook, all of this crap. But no, they have to be stopped, and they will be stopped. Eventually, they're going to be stopped.
Trump is showing Americans that he cares about what affects them the most, things that only have to do with him and no one else.
Now, Ben, don't you think it's time we let Trump back on social media after he's demonstrated that he can forcibly take a break without causing another civil war?
Actually, the segment you just played kind of points to the reality that when Donald Trump was kicked off Twitter, kicked off Facebook, and all he could really do is have a blog in which he put out his own version of tweets, his news releases, people didn't go. Nobody read it. I think that's an indication to us that maybe people weren't self-selecting Trump's content, that actually the way these social media companies operate is that they kind of mainline Trump's disinformation because they know that provokes people, that gets engagements, that gets them profits, and American democracy dies in the process.
Thanks this week for the songs from Husker Du, Alex Chilton, Book Hammer, Amy Winehouse,
Little Anthony and the Imperials, and The Clash. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Jimmy Kimmel, Tuning In the News, Michael Flynn, Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, Ken Paxton, Chris Wallace, Joe Manchin, Stuart Varney, and Donald Trump.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.